Greetings from Sarasota, Florida. My wife and I are enjoying week number 6 on the road for the winter. Snowbirds, I can't believe it's happening. But it's a joy to be back with you. I've taken a little bit of time off from podcasting, kind of getting recovered from my COVID lockdown and all that went with that. Thank God I wasn't very sick at all. But I'm back in the saddle. Hope to be a blessing to you. We continue the prophecy in the news theme, but it might be better said, prophecy in your face. I'm listening to Jesus laying out the world conditions for his church to expect nearing the time of his second coming. Sometimes the prophecies are not so much fun. This isn't going to be a real happy podcast in the front half, but we're going to wind up with some really good news in the end, so hang on there. In Matthew 24, verses 9 and 10, then they shall deliver you up, words of Jesus, on the Olivet Discourse, whole chapter about his second coming. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And many shall be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3, another whole chapter given to social conditions at the last time of Christ's church. Yea, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Following Jesus has never been a popular thing. It's never been politically correct. It's always been divisive. Remember, Jesus said, I didn't come to unite, but to divide father from son, son from father, Luke 21, 51. When people get saved, God becomes their father. Prior to that, we were of our father, the devil, and our old father hates to lose his kids, so he stirs up hearts of his kids to hate the kids that he lost. It's a spiritual battle. It's never been a popular thing to be a follower of Jesus. Many of us have lived through some of these types of, I would call them minor persecutions. When I got saved, I was the first Christian in my immediate family, and they weren't too happy about it. My mom said, don't you go messing up our family even worse, dragging religion into all of our problems. My brothers padlocked the bedroom door, put a sign on it, and said, no rednecks allowed, especially you, Duke. They had kind of taken over my record collection. I had quite a record collection. I felt like in Christ I needed to get rid of all my dark music. And if you remember Bloody Sabbath by Black Sabbath, and they had adopted my records when I quit listening to them. And then I went in and took them and destroyed some of them and didn't make them very happy. But my suffering for Jesus was very small compared to others. The early Jewish Christians were persecuted by their Christ-rejecting families and their culture. They were losing their jobs. They were run out of town. Soon, the Roman pagans were persecuting Christians for preaching a one and only true God, a huge offense to the pagan minds of polytheism. Persecution and martyrdom have always been a part of the Church of Jesus. So why should we expect in the latter days it would be any different? Church history has been a trail of blood. Just as unrighteous Cain killed Abel, Satan has always inspired his team to hate, blaspheme, silence, and whenever possible, kill those who oppose his view and his plans. Nothing new here, but the prophecy explicitly warns that the hate will intensify as the day of the Lord draws nigh. So that's in our face. How shall we then live? Well, number one, we should expect it. Don't be shocked. Don't expect an easy way for the church. It's never had an easy way. Be ready for it. Israel did 40 unnecessary years in the wilderness for expecting an easier way. They failed to face that short time trial in the wilderness by faith. They wound up murmuring and complaining, and we thought it would be easier than this, and they wound up doing laps in the wilderness for 40 years. Number one, expect it. Number two, embrace it. Go straight to Jesus. Look at his beatitudes. Most of them were given especially to those who were persecuted. Blessed are ye when all men shall revile you, for so persecuted they the prophets. When the apostles had persecutions, They were arrested. They were beaten. They were forbade to preach any longer in the name of Jesus. What did they do? They embraced it. They went on their way rejoicing, counting it a privilege to suffer for his name's sake. God's Spirit gave them strength. He gave them discernment. He gave them holy boldness, and he'll do the same for us. They wore their persecution as a badge of honor. They didn't wimp around because of it. There's reasons why we have songs in the Christian faith like Onward Christian Soldiers Marching As to War with the cross of Jesus going on before. Number three, put on the whole armor of God. No one can do it for you, but the devil can't stop you. The helmet of salvation. Have you received Christ by faith into your heart? Are you living your life in the power of his Spirit, or are you still just in your own power? The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. I received him by faith as my Savior. I received him again this morning as my righteousness before God. You don't need to get saved over and over again, of course. But the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, are we hiding God's word in our heart that we might not sin against him? Jesus always went to the word of God when Satan was tempting him in the wilderness. We have the same tools. My feet shod with the preparation of the gospel and my intentional how I'm living. Am I living for myself or the bigger car, the nicer house or popularity among men? Or am I living to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth? My feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, holding up the shield of faith whereby we are able to quench all of the fiery darts of the devil. If I get hit by a fiery dart, it's nobody's fault but my own. He gave me a shield. If I don't use it, it's my fault. Step up, put on the whole armor of God. Number four, live above it. I can't do. Yes, you can. You're not walking in your own strength. You have been given the power of the Holy Spirit to face whatever God allows to come before you. Live above it. Refuse, in Jesus' powerful and wonderful name, refuse to come down onto their playing field of hate and name calling and false accusations. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Turn the other cheek. That's the Jesus counsel on it. Pretty simple, isn't it? And it drives our adversaries crazy. Number five, don't buy into the hateful insanity. Turn off the enemy's lies. Get off the mainstream news. Don't let them pollute your brain. They broadcast 24/7 propaganda for Satan. He's the prince and power of the air. Remember the song we taught the kids? Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For your Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little ears, what you hear. Stay in God's word. Stay in the counsel of the godly. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Stay in a group of Christian people, your small group, cherish them, hang together. Or will hang apart. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Do not buy into the hateful insanity. Number six, purpose to live an exemplary life. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's non-kosher diet. He submitted himself to his authority, shared with him his burden. He was granted opportunity to kind of just live on that Jewish diet there for a while, and everything turned out great because he purposed in his heart. God sees what's happening in our heart. We can't be upset by what's all around us and let that control us. We need to look up and realize that he's opened doors for us. He's with us. He allows us to face the situations that we are in. If we be attacked, let it be for our holy positions and not for any unholy dispositions. There's no place for hate speech or violence on our part. Stand up for truth, yes. Never compromise the word of God. Be biblical in our morality, but do it with a good spirit. We are called to live above the fray. We are called to practice what we preach. I recently wrote a love letter, and it was painful, but I did it, to some who were condemning me, some very close to me, people that I love. They attacked me for my positions, things that I posted on Facebook, things that I podcast. They tore me up, called me a false prophet. The blood of innocent people's on my hand. I'm a hypocrite. Shame on me. I just wrote them a love letter back, and I praise them for their passion. I acknowledge that we're poles apart, but I love them. And I pointed out several things in their lives that were wonderful, and that I longed for and prayed for the day when we would see things more eye to eye and be able to continue to love one another and bring honor and glory to God. Soft answer turneth away wrath. And the back and forth attacks, they ended. And so it's part of being a follower of Jesus. People who are in darkness do not comprehend the light. Neither can they know these things, because these things are spiritually discerned. And it won't be until they have established a real, genuine relationship with Christ, when the Holy Spirit captures their mind and they begin to acknowledge divine truth and absolute morality. And then perhaps we can reconcile in one day. But until then, we're called to be light. And when the light shineth in the darkness comprehends it not. Saul of Tarsus was early church's public enemy number one. But I bet a bunch of people were praying for him. Didn't Jesus say, pray for your enemies? And so I believe they did. Next thing you know, he's the Apostle Paul. He's a trophy of God's grace in the early church. View your enemies as future evangelists. God can do mighty things. You know, prior to 2020, we were called deplorables. My governor, Andrew Cuomo, said, there's no place in New York for pro-lifers. Soon, there may be no place in New York for him, except perhaps a jail cell. We're praying for God's will on that situation. 15,000 people dead in our rest homes in New York State. About 6,000 of those deaths were hidden until recently. So God will have to figure all that out. But 2020 has opened a Pandora's box of new waves of hatred towards the Christian church and God's people. Back in March 2020, we had our first time in American history churches were shut down by the government. Of course, it was to stop the spread, and we graciously complied. We were deemed non-essential. We were not the only ones being shut down, and so we complied. We all went virtual for a few months and then sort of back to assemblies, but under unprecedented regulations. Mask up, come in, socially distance. The 700 chairs in our auditorium became 175. Wore a mask in and continue to this day. Take them off when we sit down, put them back on when we sing. We comply. We don't like it. We don't always know where the government should be able to step in and not. We see civil disobedience in the Bible many times, and I think we're right on the edge of that right now. But in the meantime, we'll keep our eyes on Jesus, and we will submit ourselves to those that have the rule over us. We are meeting. We are preaching the gospel. We are seeing people saved. We are seeing people baptized. We're seeing families reunited. We're seeing the kingdom go forward even under these regulations. The government moved in like never before, mandating commercial shutdowns, not just the churches. The Fauci team began to do a series of 180s, and the 14-day shutdown became 28 and now approaching a year in New York. Mysteriously, as the numbers of COVID deaths were skyrocketing, cures for COVID being denied and outlawed. That had never happened before. But at the end of 2020, the total number of deaths were slightly down from 2019. Aha, we have a moment of discernment there. Yet churches and businesses still locked down. Turns out the least restricted states fared way better than the most restricted states. I find that interesting. So most of the evangelical world, we see it as a show of government force against the people instead of for the people. We don't buy into their narrative. We don't trust the World Health Organization or the CDC or Fauci. So once again, we're the bad guys. Many of us are suspicious of any untested vaccines, We have grave questions concerning Bill Gates, modified RNA, luciferase as an ingredient to the Moderna vaccine, and all of the talk of mandatory vaccinations. Once again, we're the bad guys. Many of us see the World Health Organization, the United Nations, and the World Economic Forum as tools of the devil setting up his new world order for his Antichrist. We view most of the news as Satan's propaganda. We've seen the First Amendment go down on most social media platforms and mainstream news. History would say the silencers are the bad guys. I rejoice that one day soon, the fact checkers will be fact checked by the omniscient fact checker, the righteous judge of the universe. That's going to be a fun day. We see the globalism of the Biden administration as Satan taking the U.S. into the New World Order. Trump's administration slowed it down, but we know before Christ's kingdom comes, God allows the devil to have his seven-year kingdom with his Antichrist and false prophet, Revelation 13. Things are moving fast now. As a woman in travail, Jesus said, once those contractions come, they come harder, they come faster. And here we go. Well, back to the persecution believers have faced. First, Jews persecuted Christians for claiming Christ was Messiah and turned Jews from Moses. And that isn't exactly what the Christians were doing at all. It was Judaism being fulfilled. Number two, Romans persecute Christians for their holding to monotheism versus polytheism. Number three, the 4th century Catholics began to persecute non-Catholics for not baptizing their babies and for not bowing to the authority of the papacy. So persecution isn't new. Through the 2 millenniums of the church, persecution has come for the exclusivity of Christ. Have you ever heard Oprah Winfrey, whom I always loved and respected and talented and gifted and pleasant? Did you ever hear her go off and attack the church for daring to believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven? Wow, she gets pretty angry on that topic. Have you heard Joel Osteen dance around that topic with Larry King and others? Yeah, he doesn't want to really deny it, but yeah, you know, I don't know what's in other people's hearts. Come on, man, stand up like a man. Let your yay be yay, your nay be nay. Salvation by grace has not been real popular to those who believe salvation is by works. That's been under attack for 2,000 years. And for the past 20 years, homosexuality has been the lightning rod to bring hate upon churches standing for historic Judeo-Christian morality. Gender issues and marriage issues have not made us popular at all. And now the Pope says it's time for the Catholic Church to revisit all of these issues. You don't rewrite the Bible, you reread the Bible. And we bow to it or we oppose it. Jesus said, if you're not for me, you are what? Against me. Just like the scripture says, when Christ returns, the world will be just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Satan not only brought Sodom out of the closet, he is now trying to lock up those who oppose it. Can you see the satanic, Luciferian drift of our culture the past 50 years? It's not just that everything once wrong is now right. It's utter hate and disdain and contempt for all who won't join their perversions. It's now in our face with the new House bill being debated on gender neutrality. Soon, preaching on traditional biblical morality will be deemed hate speech. It already is in many countries. As always, the devil makes us out to be the bad guys. A new term emerged this year, cancel culture. Silencing the voice of political or moral opposition is not nearly enough. Cancel culture has stepped in addition to that. Punishing those financially, those who will not go along with the mainstream media. Cancel culture has set in to further punish the non-compliant to the mainstream narrative. Sign on or you'll lose your job. Shut up or we will remove your financial PayPal accounts on for conservative podcasters like me. I don't have any funding anyway, so they can't take it away. Professional athletes can scream out their compliant views like LeBron James, great basketball player, not so great a politician, and be fully praised for it. Yet when Drew Brees or Mike Lindell speak out, they are silenced, they are canceled, they are punished. So many gifted young black conservatives like Candace Owens are rising up and finding great support from the white community that they were taught to fear and to hate. And they're finding out, we got a lot of friends in the white community. When they begin to uphold their and proclaim their conservative values, they are persecuted by their own black culture. They're called Uncle Tom's betrayers to their race. You see, it's not a race thing at all. It's a spiritual enemy dividing everyone any way he can and fanning the flames of division with hatred, with anger. And we saw all this past summer, violence and anarchy. That's how the devil always has worked. A whole new level of control in our face. Division with anger. The mask, no mask issues, it is contentious in our world. We've heard masks aren't needed. They don't work. Yes, they do. No, they don't. Now they're talking double masking. Mask off in the wrong place, you may get told off or turned in. The issue for me isn't mask or no mask. It's the sad and intense division that is in our face as never before. The very moment we leave our homes, it's game on. We are so divided. And that's what Jesus told us it would be just prior to his coming. We've never seen anything like it. So we circle back to the words of Jesus in that famous sermon, the Olivet Discourse, all about last day's conditions as we wait for his second coming. He spoke of famines, it's here, earthquakes everywhere, pestilence, yep, COVID was global in its shutdown, pestilence, nation against nation, bam, kingdom against kingdom, bam, Israel back home, 1948, Jerusalem retaken, 1967, nations aligned, bam, Russia's team together, Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, and Germany, bam, China's hordes of 200 million coming from the east, bam, hardware, software, microchips, artificial intelligence, Revelation 13, ready for the mark of the beast, bam, world church forming with this pope, bam, new world order closer than ever before, bam, COVID, I see it as a segue to totalitarian control in Revelation 13. It's not all falling apart. It's all coming together just as Jesus promised. It will get darker. Deception will get stronger. But each day is a day closer to Christ's return. Oh, what exceeding joy that awaits. Those who love our Lord, oh my, the best is yet to come. I'm keeping one eye on the news, but my whole heart on Christ's return. Blessed are they that love his appearance. I'm not complaining about the problems. I'm rejoicing in the opportunities. You got a chance to grow in grace. Take hold of responsibility. Don't forget that wonderful little song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan put it out. I'm going to let it shine. What an honor to be Christ's voice, to speak to our hardened world. What a privilege to be the light shining in the darkness. What joy to be Jesus' hands reaching out to this hurting world in the final days. It's our time. Let's leave it all in the field. Let's make the most of it. May our sweet Jesus be able to look down from glory today and see us, our eyes on him as worshipers in the final days. Let's make him proud. Let's live above it. Let's look to him. Hey, thanks for joining me once again. Pray for the podcast. Send me a note if you like it. Correct me if I'm wrong, where I'm wrong. I'm sure I don't have a total lock on all truth. But let's do it, man. Let's stand up for Jesus. Take it all in and lift it all up. So thanks for joining me today. Hope you liked it. Subscribe, follow along, share it with your friends. Let's get the word out together. So once again, God bless. Thanks for joining me. Jesus is coming back. Today might be the day. I'm so ready.